Welcome to the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
The highlight of my week.
Oh, it's the highlight of everybody's week. I'm Alec Moffa. I'm here with my granddaughter, the Queen of the North, Priyanka.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here with you again. How's your week, Grandma?
Fantastic. Everybody, make sure you subscribe and listen to all of our gossip and gab. You don't want to miss out.
Mm-mm. And today's a very special episode because we finally have a season 13 winner, baby.
We finally made it to the end. Let's get into it.
It's so weird because it doesn't really feel like we're at the end. Like, we've had it for, like, 4 months now that I feel like...
Has it been four months?
Sure, it's the end. January, February, March, April. Like, 4 months. And I'm like, are we sure? Are we certain? Is there going to be a surprise episode coming down the line? Like, are we sure? Like, what's going to happen?
Were there more episodes this time than there normally were?
Yeah, I think, you know, the show's so popular and so incredible that, like, the network would order more.
So there were actually numerically more episodes of this show than there normally are.
I think there is. I don't know. Like, so we got to get a fact checker in here.
I know. It feels like there was more.
I'm pretty sure there typically is, because I remember when they were on, like, the top eight episode, like, there's a bunch of memes going down being like, this week on season 13, but, like, this week in season 9, and we were already at the finale. So there definitely was more. Plus, we had Krona Can't Keep a Good Queen Down, which is an extra episode on top of that. But you know what the good news is that, like, we're all complaining that the season was too long, but we're lucky that we were blessed with this much Drag Race.
You know what? Listen, I never leave the house and I never do anything else except watch Drag Race. So I'm perfectly happy if this had gone on for the next 7 years. Now, this season finale, now normally they did it at the Ace Theater, and normally it's packed with people, and it's a really, really fun event to go to, because it's a reunion and a curtain call for all of the season's queens, and also there's so many other previous queens in the audience, so it's really kind of like this big giant class reunion for everybody. But this time they filmed at the Ace Hotel again, gorgeous, mm-hmm. and kicked off with a performance from RuPaul, all in gold and all leggy with her chorus boys, and she did her best step touch on 2 and 4.
That's my favorite thing about the finale, is that these dancers come out of nowhere. Like, all right, well, coming up next, like, we're going to see who's going to, like, lip sync for the crown. And all of a sudden, like, on the 5, 6, 7, 8, all these shirtless guys take the stage for no reason. I think it's the funniest thing ever. It's so old school.
Because we're gay, and shirtless guys are a fun thing to watch.
Her paint for the finale, RuPaul, look snatched, like, her nose was, like, shortened 4 inches by just the makeup.
It's Raven.
Beautiful. Great job, Raven. You did a good job painting Mama Ru.
Raven is an Emmy Award winner now for all of that makeup. I mean, it's just, like, if you've ever seen Raven's paint up close, it's extraordinary. She is the Leonardo da Vinci of drag. Now, we started off with a big drag ball with all these different categories, and so they had to bring, like, 10 looks apiece to the finale.
Yeah, it was a lot of looks they had to bring, but, you know, if you want to win the crown, you don't care. Uh-huh. RuPaul calls you and says, bring all the looks, you bring all the looks. And it was really nice because, I won't lie, like, there was great performers on this season. There was Denali, there was Lala Ree, there was Elliot with 2 T's, like, really great performers. But whoever ended up in the final four, like, Rosé and Candy are, like, really great performers, but I wouldn't consider, like, Simone and Gottmik, like, incredible, like, live stage performers, because their fashion is what speaks to mm-hmm, me through their mm-hmm. drag art. Whereas, like, Rosé, I go to a Rosé show and I could watch her sing and dance and flail around the stage, and Kim use the same thing. So it was nice for them to fill the time that would normally get filled with, you know, all the banter and the audience questions and then, like, all the camaraderie in the room with a ball. Because this show, the thing that impressed me the most about season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race was the fashion.
I know. Like, I want to talk about that because I take issue with it for a moment. You'll find out. So the first category was black and white. And we're going to go through all the categories with each individual contestants. So the first category, we're going to concentrate on Got Mick, who came out in an incredible, Clive Barker's Hellraiser, and did a very glamorous version of the Hellraiser look. And it was just exquisite.
It was. It was exactly what, you know, it's one thing to take the color. It's another thing to turn the color category into something that, like, can be impactful. And this was very impactful.
Elevated. Work. And then if you look at the front of the bodice, there's this very intricate pattern of straps and everything that reference the film. And it's, here's my issue, all right? Just hear me out. If you do a deep dive on all the Queen's looks, and especially Got Mix and Simone's, you'll find that a number of them were designed by a local designer here in Los Angeles who is so talented. His name is Marco Marco. And they do the big fashion show every year with all the drag queens and everything. And he's, you could find him on Instagram under Marco Squared. Now, if you're coming into Drag Race without a designer putting looks together for you, are you at a disadvantage?
No, I don't think so. I think that, like, you are only as good as you want to be. And if you want to make your team have those talented, really experienced people on it, or you don't, then, like, we live in a world of the internet. And all it takes is to reach out to say, like, hey, I'm going to be on Drag Race.
Right.
Help me. And you know, like, Simone is a good example of, like, she has a team behind her that works with her and makes her looks happen. But I don't think that that's at a discount. If we can worship pop stars like Ariana Grande and Beyonce who go on world tours and wear the same costumes every single night, and they're put together by a team of 30 plus people, there's no reason why a competitor on RuPaul's Drag Race can't have that expertise in their package. There's no reason why a drag queen needs to only have their own ideas come to life. Like, it could be a team.
Did you have a team?
For Drag Race, I only had one other person helping me. Now that I've elevated and my drag has become so much different, I have a bigger team.
Wow. And what does that team consist of? I want to know.
You just have more people. Like, you just have more people. Like, I mean, it's not like a, like, you have like a financial retainer on these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but, like, the people that you trust.
Who are now invested in kind of creating the looks that you're going to put forth.
Exactly.
And so it's like the next evolution.
They get excited. Yeah. They get excited to put you in different things, or if I come up with an idea, like, I have this video dropping soon, and I do, like, cover videos, and, like, this whole vision I have, you know, I could have done it myself, yeah, but, like, teamwork makes the dream work.
It's elevated so much. I mean, RuPaul said out loud on a British Drag Race, I don't want to see anything from H&M. So I'm just saying that all of these teams, all of these designs have elevated the competition to the next level.
100%,
you cannot show up like La La Ray with paper bags plastered to your body.
But now that's become iconic,
which is the great thing about drag. It was like, that was a funny image, and now it's like instantly identifiable. The next look for Got Mick, incredible. She did a whole kind of head-to-toe Keith Haring look,
graffiti artist. Gorgeous.
In New York City with that. And she said she had the David Bowie silhouette, you know, the pants that went wide on the outside. I loved it. She's so unconventional, and again, brings out stuff that it's just the face and everything is perfection. It's one of a kind.
I'm like literally so it was one of a kind, and it was like, wow, I love that. Like, it had messaging all over it. I love how clear the silhouette was. Like, it was a shoot for me.
I know, and it's just the representation of trans men in Drag Race, and what she did, I'm talking about using the pronoun for her as a queen, but what she did in order to represent herself is, and I found it interesting talking about herself as a trans man, that I thought that I couldn't be a trans man because I was so feminine, and then I was at brunch with all these gay guys, my friends, and they're like, well, they're men.
Yeah, no, exactly. It kind of like, it really, really, really like drives the fork between those gender norms that we're used to. And I think that Got Mick being on the show like made it even more, like it really blurs the line of gender, which I love so much.
Love. And speaking of love, this
Oh my God, this look.
Oh my God. I don't, you know, I'm the
breathtaking.
Her, the eleganza look of this Marco Marco dress. Again, it's a Marco Marco design. It is like if Queen Elizabeth came from outer space. It's like it's almost Elizabethan in its shape and its execution, but it's so incredible. It's like this cobalt blue dress with this beading, and it flares out at the bottom, and then those shoulders at the top, and then that red heart in the middle, surrounded by the almost kind of like exoskeleton.
Oh, this is like the perfect finale look. Like, you just show everybody that you are the queen. Like, that's just it.
That's just it. And it kind of reminded me, the entrance was as... Do you remember when Violet Chachki came out the year after she won? And she literally had like a crown coming out of her skull. Like, it was permanently attached. Like, it was made out of flesh. And it was just, that gown was just so unbelievable. This kind of like made me excited in the same way.
Yay. I totally agree.
Would you wear this?
Oh my God, I would love to wear this. I'm right now brainstorming gown ideas for my step down for Canada's Drag Race. So seeing these ladies come out and kill it, I'm like, okay, I got to make sure that I come correct when I step down.
You need to bring it. Your team.
Oh, yes, I do.
You have to come out dressed as like a Canadian mountain or something and just take up the entire.
I am the mountain. I am the mountain.
I came dressed as Banff. I'm Lake Louise.
I am Banff, Alberta.
Next up, we have Candy Muse. Candy Muse is
Candy Muse.
This is the thing. It's like between the queen that Candy started out as with the ripped kind of denim outfit that she had, which was kind of like the hood to Hollywood, to this kind of like science fiction Mars Attacks beehive with the almost like fascinator hair up top. Pretty cool.
Oh, I thought it was incredible. Like her fashion and makeup evolution throughout the show has been is untouched. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a queen just glow up so clearly. Like, because she not only changed her looks, she changed the way she paints her face, the way she carries herself, her attention to detail. Like the Black Lives Matter,
amazing.
Just incredible. Like, it was just, she looks stunning, like breathtaking. I love it.
Stunning and breathtaking and just kind of, you know, I think what the show does for these queens is, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, is it affirms who you are, but it almost like you start taking yourself a little more seriously.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Cause you're more of a brand now. You're something that people can make money off of.
Yeah. I'm not going to show up in something from H&M. I'm going to really kind of take it to the next level so that, you know, more opportunities are created. Okay, so her next red look is this thing, this red kind of leather dress, and she has these gigantic headphones on, a little tiny beatbox. And this one was a little more playful.
I love this one because it was like an homage to, like, her first, that denim look that you just talked about.
Bing, bing, bing. 100%. Kind of like showing, let me give you a little look about how far I've come. And it takes her opening look to the next level. The beatbox, the red beatbox headphones are bigger. The look is definitely more definite. She has a blonde side ponytail and these red go-go boots and those eyelets at the bottom of the leather skirt.
Danesha. It's nice to see her in this kind of like silhouette because this is like classic Candy, but elevated for RuPaul's Drag Race. And her next look, this like peacock, giant, enormous, like it was, imagine, like she turned the corner and I was like, you are a beautiful bitch. Like, this is so good. I was sold. I am sold.
And how great for her to pick a peacock, which is like really the most exhibitionistic bird in in all of birddom, if I may say that. I don't know if that's a technical term or not. This was more like a ball gown. This kind of seemed like a season finale look to me, you know, with the full length skirt and everything. And I just loves how I loves. Everything is kind of like with a middle finger up, you know, like I am unconventional. I am, I'm not the shape that you usually expect. And I'm going to serve it, and I'm going to redefine what people think of as beautiful.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what I got. And it was also fun when they cut out to, like, the drive-in drag, and all the audience members were just losing it over this look. I thought it was so fun.
Cool. Okay, we move on to Rosé. in the and she did kind of like an Audrey Hepburn Ascot opening day. I remember Miss Cracker had done a version of this. Remember when she had that blonde hair hat? She kind of did the same kind of Audrey Hepburn type dress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this is immediately recognizable as Audrey Hepburn's Ascot Day dress from My Fair Lady, and I loved it.
I like this look. I think, yeah, it was a very rosé look. I love how big the hat was, and I also like love the like the little umbrella. Like, you're all right, it is a My Fair Lady thing, but like Rosé still like put her twist on it, which I really like.
Yeah, it's kind of like a fetish My Fair Lady. It's like My Fair Latex Lady. My exactly. only issue with it is I love the tiny little black silhouette up front that just kind of shrinks her. It kind of like it kind of fools the eye. My only issue is it did seem kind of hard to walk in, but you know, listen, Audrey Hepburn couldn't move either. Next up, we have her in red, and she's a tree that's been on fire or something.
I did not like this look.
I didn't love it.
I did not like this look, and I don't know.
I think it was kind of like, remember how Aquaria came out that one season when she was a mermaid and she was covered in oil and it was kind of distressed? I thought this was kind of redolent of that, kind of reminiscent of that, but it wasn't as successful to me. Also, the choice to kind of like move on, like my first thing, my thought was Swamp Thing. Are you Swamp Thing?
It was very swampy. Very swampy. Very swampy.
But I want to understand the reasoning behind it. Like, if we ever have Rosé on the show, I want to talk to her. Like,
you have to ask her.
Yeah, what's the story behind it? You had a story behind every look that you made.
Yeah, you do. You have an inspiration. You have a story. There has to be a reason for this. It just wasn't clear. And it also wasn't really rosé. I think, like, with rosé's look, like, there was, like, a lack of identity. Like, My Fair Lady look, like, was very rosé. This look was, like, I'm like, this isn't rosé. This is somebody else.
This is, like, Brooklyn Heights, or this is, like...
Yeah, very Brooklyn Heights.
Right?
That look is very Brooklyn Heights. You are right.
Kind of the bodysuit and the kind of movement and everything. All right. So, love you, Rosé. I'm a big fan if you're listening. No love lost. Just wasn't my favorite look. However, the very last kind of Queen of Scotland look that she did, so playful
love.
And fun, and with the puffy sleeves and the pantaloons. I mean, just really, really
pantaloons.
Fun. Pantaloons.
Just Gorgina.
Come through, Pantaloons.
Gorgina.
Yeah, yeah. The hair's on point. I mean, she really came out, you know, like you did. I love that when people attach their heritage to something, because then it becomes super personal.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And in that way, I think that Rosé thoroughly and accurately and in a most fun way represented her Scottish heritage. She wanted to come out as the Queen of Scotland, and she did.
And she did that. Yeah, it's nice to use the finale to, like, dress up and show off your heritage, because, like, representation is something that we always think about, right? We're like, what? We haven't seen this person. We haven't seen this kind of person. So I want to be that kind of person, which is basically what Simone did with all three of her looks.
Oh, my God. So the first one.
The first one was what we would expect her to walk out in last, but she came out strong with this bandana Marie Antoinette, big afro, paying homage to her culture, and you better believe it. And then up next, her red look with all the nails and then the toenails and the nails grabbing the pigtails. I was like, this is so good. I just love that her stuff is so fashion with a twist of camp. Like,
yes.
That's my kind of drag. Like, yeah. That's the kind of drag that I love.
Like on one hand, it's like a couture show where you're going, okay, that's a little wacky for street. But you look at the construction of the actual dress that's made out of fingernails and you're like, that's a fringe dress and that could actually be worn.
Exactly.
To an event. It's absolutely beautiful. And her toes, the toenails sticking out of the very top. Hysterical. I love that
hysterical.
She, from the beginning, she didn't take herself too seriously. You know, and I think that's why I enjoy her so much. Because I don't take myself seriously either. So the last one that she did was this kind of, she was wearing a crown of snakes like Medusa. But she also had this kind of Renaissance armor on one side and this flowing almost like goddess dress on the other. It's she's armored Greek mythology. Absolutely beautiful.
Just stunning, breathtaking.
And when she turns around, that wig, the Medusa wig, it's braids. They're actual braids of snakes. I mean, the detail that her house brought to every single challenge, and especially this one, are so well thought out.
Untouched.
As this race moves forward and forward, it's the details that are going to count. Like, I feel sorry for...
Oh, do you remember, I totally
like, did you ever watch season one of RuPaul's Drag Race? It's like a completely different show. Rebecca Glasscock could not have competed against these girls. She was, like, pulling out, like, you know, dresses from H&M out of a bag. And she had, like, three wigs.
Yeah, I know, right? But drag has just changed so much, right? It's just, like, it's grown so much. So, like, this is the standard now.
It's too much. It's kind of like...
enough. Well, not enough.
I love that it's keeping pushing forward, but anybody who... I'm thinking about anybody who has the balls to, like, throw their hat in the ring at this point just has to bring so much shite.
Yeah, it's all about just being creative. Like, it's just being creative with your money, creative with your sources, creative with how much you can do yourself. It's amazing, and it's a finale of RuPaul's Drag Race. You're not going to show up in an H&M dress,
right? And then they did that lovely tribute to Chi-Chi Devane, who kind of framed herself as the trash queen. You know, she showed up in a dress made out of hefty bags. And Ed said at one point during the show, I don't have the resources, I don't have the money. And Michelle Visage says, you don't need that. You need imagination.
No.
And she brought it.
It was really nice seeing everyone's tributes to her. I was bawling my eyes out. Like, I'm such a crier. And I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful to see. Because, like, it's sad. Like, life is sad. Life is sad. I mean, it can be. There's such a dark side, like, living on this world. But drag is the one thing that brings you happiness and an escape. So it's sad whenever we lose somebody that brought that to us.
Because, yes. Like,
Chi-Chi Devane is a very important part of RuPaul's Drag Race. So to lose her is heartbreaking. It was really nice seeing all four of the contestants sit down with RuPaul and have a little gossip and a giggle, because when Gottmik was talking to RuPaul, like, their chemistry is wild. Like, I would love to watch RuPaul and Gottmik host a show together, because, like, their chemistry is so funny. Like, yeah, they love each other. There's, like, a genuine love and an interest there, which I find very entertaining to watch. I love their conversation. I love seeing Mick's parents, you know, talk to him about, you know, being proud of him and that's arcade and all that stuff, because, like, it's just beautiful to see, like, trans kids parents support them, because
I know not everybody is lucky to have supportive parents, so that is lovely to see. And I think what RuPaul appreciates about Gottmik is how quick he is. So quick. So he's like, when Ru said, I didn't expect to enjoy you as much as I did, and Gottmik said, that's nice and a little bit insulting.
Yeah, like a little rude.
A little rude.
But that's the thing, is like expectation, right? Like, you expect someone to be some way, then you meet them and they wow you. Like, that's what a true star can do.
Right, right.
And then I loved hearing Candy and RuPaul just being like, do people usually not understand what you're saying? Like, just playing into that. And Candy kind of just like owning that, you know, she has this speech impediment, but she doesn't give a flying fuck, because she's Candy Muse, baby.
If you
she's
go to Candy New York Muse, she City do what she wants. And you ride any subway, you could eavesdrop on a million people who sound like Candy Muse.
That's so funny.
Again, I'll bring this up until the cows come home. The girls go through so much on this show to get on the show. Mm-hmm. They've been through so much in their lives. Just show them love when they're online. You can be critical without being hateful, is what I'm saying.
That's the truth. That is the truth, baby. And I love seeing Rosé's really giant Scottish family, because it all made sense. Like, it all just, you know, put the bow on the present, the cherry on top, all of it. I was like, this family is so funny to see. It makes sense. It almost seems like Rosé's family was, like, louder than Rosé, which is the funniest part about it all.
They were hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And was it his sister who had, like, the bigger champagne glass to everybody else? I was dying.
And the brother, so cute. The brother was very, very cute. And just to see how many people have, like, how are completely behind him. Now, part of your storyline was you didn't come from as supportive a family, right? That was your... Yeah. How are things now?
Oh, is this my press tour for the finale? Then the day after I won, everyone's like, congratulations. So let's talk about your dad. It was like 29 interviews I did and all the same interviews.
It's like Tina Turner after she made her comeback. She's like, why are we still talking about Ike? I just won seven Grammys.
So funny, but you know what? Like, oh my, everything is great. So my family is very supportive. My dad just didn't know I was gay or I was a drag queen while I was filming Drag Race. So on
your dad didn't know you were gay?
No. And he just, you know, out of mind, I moved out of my house when I was 18, went off to college, I moved to Toronto. Like, I just don't really have that kind of close relationship with my dad. So
I moved out when I was 18 too. I was like, bye.
Mm-hmm. So when I, like, you know, when you're on a show as big as Drag Race and everyone's going to see it because it's worldwide, you're like, oh, God, I got to tell my dad that I'm gay and I'm a drag queen. You know, my dad thought I was, you know, hosting Kids TV still. That's what I thought I was doing. And I was lying. Well, I was doing both.
It doesn't sound like you were close enough to kind of keep him informed about where you were and what you were doing.
Yeah, it's not like I was talking to him every day and then, like, just lying to him. It was just that we just don't have that kind of relationship. But now we're, you know, we chat here and there.
Yeah. I think my father's issue was he wanted to know that I was going to be okay on my own, that I was strong enough to be okay on my own. And now I'm like, you have no idea how strong I am. You have no idea.
Right? That's the tea.
I mean, as a queer person, you have to be strong. And what I love in the next part was with Simone, with the mother and the grandma, just being so proud all the way from Arkansas.
When the grandma was like, we love you, Reggie. And everyone's like, who the fuck is Reggie? That was so funny. I was like, who is Reggie?
Don't call me out. What did you think of RuPaul's finale look?
Beautiful. Beautiful. That rainbowy look was
talk about
beautiful.
A team.
Beautiful. I loved it. So, oh, my God. Just breathtaking. Let's talk about the lip syncs.
Okay.
For the crown. What did you think of the lip syncs?
Lip syncs for the crown. You know what? I'm not really a big fan of the having a lip sync at the finale. I feel like, you know, I made it all the way to the finale. I like the format where everybody has their own solo number and then Ru decides.
This every cast is different. Like for Brooklyn's season 11. It worked. Season 10, it worked. Season 9, it worked. For this season, it didn't work because, as I said, it would have been nice to see each member of the cast has such a great personality. It would have been cool to see them do their own number. I would have loved that. It just depends. But then also, lip syncing for the crown is also so fun, too. Like, I just love watching drag queens lip sync. But it was very interesting. It was very, very interesting. But I am mad. I am mad at all.
I ain't mad about it. They all did Britney, bitch. Everybody did Britney Spears. First up was You Better Work, Bitch, Candy versus Rosé. Always fun. And that's kind of a standard. Do you do that number?
No, I don't. That's like one of the worst songs to lip sync ever because of all the dance breaks in it. Yeah, like all those, you better work, bitch. There's no words.
I always say like really stupid household items for that song. You want a paperclip? You want a stapler? You better work, bitch. And from that, Candy Muse won. So Candy Muse went forward after vanquishing.
Vanquishing.
Gottmik in the lip sync competition. And then that put Simone against Rosé.
No, Candy went forward, and then Gottmik and Simone had to lip sync to Gimme More, and then Simone sent Gottmik home, and then it was Simone versus Candy. That's what happened.
All right. Where's Rosé in all of this?
Well, Rosé went home because Candy sent her home.
Okay. All right. Wow, God. Candy really kind of had to claw her way to the very, very top. I did like the reveals that took place. Simone's Timberland look, when she took it off. And all of a sudden, her bra and her bottom was made out of Timberland shoes. Hysterical.
So
and,
good.
And great. But again, the execution of it was absolutely fantastic. And she topped it off by taking off her other wig, and she had an ombre wig that was also the color of Timberland's. So very, very cool. And that left the two at the top were Candy and Simone, right? And Candy came out in kind of like a jumpsuit with a big visor, which looked great on her. I was a little underwhelmed. And of course, Simone's costume did everything but catch fire and fly up in the air. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if, like, live cats had jumped out of the wig. I love the reveal. I loved her taking off that thing and everything. It was like, all of a sudden, there was an explosion of a brand new dress. And then her hair, her stunt hair, that turned her into a maypole, was hysterical.
It literally blew up. It blew up. It was so cool to see.
There were so many ways for that to go wrong, and it all went right.
And then it all made sense. The drag gods were smiling down on Simone that day, and she took the crown. She is our winner, winner, chicken dinner.
She was crowned the winner. I'm very happy with the results.
I am very, very happy. Simone showed up to the finale, and basically any naysayer that said Simone wouldn't win, she was like, no, let me show you one final time why I'm the queen. And that's exactly... Don't let this... Exactly. Incredible. Congratulations, Simone. I love you.
Congratulations, Simone. I want to throw you a dinner party.
Should we do a fan question?
Let's do a fan question. Again, if you write to Priyanka on Twitter every week and ask a question and we read it on the air, you will get free World of Wonder merch. Now, currently, we've been giving out this amazing pin that says Charisma. And it doesn't matter where you live on the planet, we will get it to you. You know, we're giving out free stuff from World of Wonder every week, but you could also take 10% off the World of Wonder online store with the code DRAGRACEPODCAST. So what are the questions this week?
Okay, so let's do two questions.
From the web.
This question is... Oh, this kind of ties in with, you know, the runway themes. We did black and white, we did red, we did finale look. So this question is from Good X Gray, Kathy. Their question is, if you could wear one color for the rest of your life, what color would you choose?
Ooh, that's tough. But I'm finding that as a more mature woman, you can't go wrong with black. I would probably wear black. Just kind of take the guesswork out of it. Pink? You would wear pink.
If I could rock pink every day. I know I'm wearing gray right now. If I could wear pink every single day, I would be the happiest girl in the world. The happiest girl in the world.
So no, whoever wrote that question, again, say their name. Please send your mailing address to Priyanka in order to get your free World of Wonder pin. Next question, please.
From Henny. Oh, wait. Hanny. Liza Suburban Hanny. What's your favorite Drag Race moment? I would say let's talk about our favorite season 13 moment because the season's over.
Hanny.
What's yours?
My favorite moment from season 13, I think, was a Snatch Game. I had so much fun. I had that moment where Gottmik spoke in two different octaves as Paris Hilton. Said, oh, yeah, just tell me when we're going to be ready to do this. We're shooting right now. Oh, hi, Grage. And then she, like, jumped an octave. I thought that was hysterical. My favorite moments involve Gottmik. I think in the season finale when she came out in that blue dress, the blue science fiction Queen Elizabeth dress. Unbelievable. Yeah. That was a great moment.
I loved my favorite moment of this entire season was the pork chop. Seeing those queens think that they had RuPaul's Drag Race all figured out and being sent home the first episode and they're all pissed and they're all... Because, you know, you have... As a queen, you just think you have it all figured out. And it's very rare that something throws you for a loop. So it was nice that they said, we'll see about this. And we got to watch... It was really interesting. Like, I thought it was... Like, if I showed up to Canada's Drag Race and that was... the case, I would be like, I love this. Like, this is the kind of shit I signed up for.
Damn it. But not if you're sent home on the first episode. I mean, seeing the look of mortification on everybody, it's like, I just made it here, and now I'm being sent home. That was kind of tough to watch. But you're saying that you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, like, my whole thing was like, if you're going to sign up for a reality TV show, go there to win and go there with like low expectations, because anything could happen, because that's the beauty of TV.
Anything can happen. And talking about anything can happen, the Drag Race franchise has gone global.
Yay.
Starting May 1st, we have a brand new premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. There's a teaser currently showing on WOW Presents. You can watch it. The queens, I'm looking forward to seeing a completely different kind of style, a completely different kind of gay from Down Under. And I'm really looking forward to it. I can't get enough.
Oh, I cannot wait. And I'm excited to talk about it with you. Make sure you can head over... if you are wondering how to watch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, you can head to wowpresentsplus.com and figure it out. And also, very soon, I'm going to have an announcement about something very special that you can also see on Wow Presents Plus. But I can't tell you yet, you little fuckers.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh, look at my face. I'm like, you. Do you have your own TV show.
I'm so excited.
You got a television series.
Don't forget that you can. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
The official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast can be heard every single Wednesday on the WOW Podcast Network, and you can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13 is da-dun-dun, da-sun-dun.
It's all done. But you can watch it on your DVR. I'm sure you all recorded every single episode, as did I. Priyanka, where can people find you on your socials?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is, at The Queen Priyanka.
You can find me at Alec Mappa on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also listen to my mental health podcast, Alec Mappa, Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, Psychotherapist. We have episodes every week starring your favorite celebs. We love you. We're so grateful that you tune in each week. Otherwise, there would be no point to us doing this. Tune in next week, and we're going to talk about more things, all Drag Race, all the time, on the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been a World of Wonder production.